Chapter 5. Salam. Muhammad's victory over the Quraysh greatly enhanced his prestige in the peninsula. During the next few months, he capitalized on this, dispatching raiding parties against tribes who belonged to the Meccan Confederacy, hoping to tighten the economic blockade that was damaging Quraysh trade and attract some of the Syrian caravans to Medina. His continuing success made many of the Arabs question the validity of their traditional faith. They were pragmatic people, less interested in abstract speculation than in the effectiveness of a religious system. When the Meccan army had left Medina after the siege, the commander, Khalid ibn al-Walid, had cried, "Every man of sense now knows that Muhammad has not lied." Even the most committed adherents of the old faith were beginning to agree. During a raid against one of the Meccan caravans, Muhammad's former son-in-law, Abu al-As, who had been ready to give up his family rather than accept Islam, was taken prisoner. Muhammad ordered that he be released and his merchandise returned to him, and this second act of generosity so impressed Abu al-As that after he had taken the goods back to Mecca, he made the hijrah, converted to Islam, and was reunited with Zainab and their little daughter. In Arabia as a whole, the tide had turned in Muhammad's favour. But within Medina, the opposite was true. There the conflict had become more venomous than ever. Every day Ibn Ubay insinuated that had he retained the leadership, Yathrib could have been pacified without incurring the lethal enmity of the most powerful city in Arabia. Muhammad's enemies rarely attacked him openly, but conducted a somewhat underhanded smear campaign. His controversial attempt to improve the status of women was a godsend to them, and they began to circulate malicious and salacious rumours about his wives. Some made it known that they had their eye on some of the more attractive members of his harem and intended to marry them after his death, a suggestion that carried more than a hint of assassination. It was whispered that Muhammad was now too old to satisfy his wives, or that he had a testicular hernia. There was a good deal of spiteful gossip about Aisha and a young man called Safwan ibn al-Mu'attal. When people crowded into his family quarters to put their questions and complaints to Muhammad, some of the men had actually insulted his wives before his very eyes. The situation was getting out of hand. At night, when it was cooler, Medina came to life, and people liked to walk about and socialize outside, enjoying the fresher air. But since the siege, women had been attacked on the streets. When the Prophet's wives went out together, the hypocrites had started to follow them, yelling obscene suggestions and making lewd gestures. When challenged, they protested that in the darkness they had mistaken the women for slave girls, who were considered fair game for this type of harassment.